Hi, I'm Austin Rude.
And I'm Phil Rude, and we host The Picture Show with Austin and Phil Rude.
Clever name. Each week, we watch a movie and bring our discussion to the mics.
You can hear my opinions and Austin's wrong opinions about everything we watch.
No, you're the wrong one.
Get out.
The Picture Show with Austin and Phil Rude. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Brand new banger. Banger. You're jamming with the hottest disc jockey.
Disc jockey. Exclusive hot new mix.
Let's go. 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 Go.
Hello, Podfix Nation. I'm Christopher DeVos, and this is your mixtape for February of 2021. First up on the mixtape, we have the Podcast Discovery Show. This is a podcast you listen to learn what to listen to, basically. Zach and Kirk do all the heavy earhole work to bring you the best of the 10 million podcasts out there. On this particular segment, they have guest Paul Chomo of Varmints, another Podfix show, recommend a podcast on how words are formed and where they come from. It's kind of funny because for a short while there, it seemed like Paul was a guest on every podcast that was in my playlist. I don't have an issue with that. Paul's a great guy and very good at keeping you engaged and listening despite having the handicap of drinking the wrong soda water from the wrong soda water company. However, I'll just leave it at that. I actually watched the Podcast Discovery Show live stream of this particular episode. I want to say on Twitch, but I could be wrong on that platform. It was a while ago. But that's not important. What is important was that it was kind of cool seeing how other podcasters do their thing behind the scenes. Zach and Kirk are very organized, whereas on my main show, Podcast 42, we just kind of open up the mics and what comes out, mistakes generally stay in, and editing is done to an extreme bare minimum. Zach and Kirk, on the other hand, timestamp their mistakes for easy editing, and sponsor inserts, take breaks, and actually research things. I would research things if someone would invent an easy way to do it, like, maybe a technology that connects computers from all over the world together over a high-speed cable, and maybe have a starting index site where I could just type in my question into this little box and hit search. But until that day comes, I will just have to rely on what I remember from my childhood. So with no further ado, here is the Podcast Discovery Show.
But no, thank you so much for being here, man. I am so excited. And You brought this recommendation this week.
I did. Yes, I did. Do you want me to talk about it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tell us about the show.
Well, the show is called Lexitecture, and it's a hard word for me to say. Lexitecture. Okay, there we go. I should have practiced that a couple of times before I came on. It is a show about words and the origins of words. And I found this show through a show called Your Brain on Facts. Have you guys heard of that one?
That one's
heard of it. I have not listened.
Sounds really familiar. I don't know if I've heard it though.
Yeah. That is a really, really good show. And Moxie is the host. And a while back, she had her 100th episode. And I got to participate in it. And basically, she just got a whole bunch of podcasters together to give quick little facts of information on her podcast. Just rapid fire, one after the other. And so I listened back to the episode to make sure I didn't sound like an idiot like you do. And Lexitecture happened to be on there. And the first thing that hit my ears was the co-host, Amy, has a Scottish accent that is so thick that it's almost a different language. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It. Yeah. So so I listened to their podcast based on that and just geeked out about it because here's the thing. In my podcast, I have a very short segment near the beginning, and I talk about where the name of the animal came from, what its origin was. That little etymology bit that I put in there on purpose at the beginning because, and me and Donna have talked about this, if we didn't have a a podcast about animals, we'd probably have a podcast about words and about etymology, because I geek out over that. And so Lexitecture is just, I just geek out over that show every single week. They find a word, they each find a word, they take that word, they pick it apart, they find out where it came from, what other words it's related to. Like, they really go deep with their etymology. Yeah. It's amazing. They really do. And they're funny, and they do it in a really entertaining way, which is the best. Like, those kind of shows appeal to me, shows that are geeky and nerdy, but don't make you feel dumb. They're just talking to you regular people guys, you know?
Yes, yes. And no, I definitely did love her accent, and it was the best. Now, I will say, she was saying a lot of like really big words in describing the origins of these words, and sometimes I was lost as to what she was saying, because I was like, do I know the word that she's saying, but she's got an accent, or do I just so dumb I don't even know the word she's saying? Or is she speaking another language? Because at one point she was speaking another language too.
It can't be overstated how thick her accent is, and it's delightful.
But like, it's
really wonderful.
It is. It is. So this episode in particular was episode 81, titled "Quick Despot." Despot?
Despot.
Despot.
Despot. Despacito. So yeah, Zach, what is the origin of "Quick"? What did we learn today?
And first of all, yes, this show, it really does deep dive. And Paul talking about how much he really likes to get into the granular, really get down into the nitty gritty of how words are formed. That's what this show is. This is not a BuzzFeed article that it's going to be like, oh, the word penguin came from this, the word banana was once this. It's, they get into it so much. They look at the different parts of the word. They look at how those words relate to everything else in Latin. It's, they, if you like to understand where words are coming from, they really will help you get there. And so their first one was "quick," and it originally referred to life and vitality. And it's funny because I remembered some of this religious stuff. They had talked a lot about kind of how there was a lot of religious context around the earlier usages of this word, but I had never considered it anything besides just like fast, you know? So it was super interesting to hear them kind of break down how it all goes.
I do remember that, like at church and stuff, like quicken, almost like even like quicken your heart, you know, it's, it can be almost taken both ways, where it's like bring it to life or make it beat faster. But I remember, you know, some Bible verses that had to do with like quickening your spirit and stuff like that. But I didn't really put two and two together either. It makes sense looking back. And it made me think as well that, like, since a lot of English words have roots in Latin, I wonder how much a lot of the origin of these words come from that have like a lot of a religious background, or like a root somewhere in old timey Catholicism or something. I'm really curious looking back, because, you know, it's Latin, you know?
Yeah, no, it is really interesting to try and see that. I did find an article about common phrases that were based off religious stuff. And I basically, because when they started talking about this, I was like thinking the same thing you were. It's like there's Shakespeare and then there's religion. Both of those things have contributed so much to the words we use right now. And there's a bunch of these that you wouldn't really, I guess, think of it. So like "by the skin of my teeth" is a biblical reference.
Yep. Sure is.
Didn't know that.
"Don't put words in my mouth" is a biblical reference. "A sign of the times." Scapegoat. That one makes sense, because scapegoat was a sacrificial one. I remember that one. Yeah. "The writing is on the wall." You know, that one was very literal from the Bible. And then a drop in the bucket are all things that are examples of how a literal direct religious text has stuck around in popular vernacular even now. That's one of the things that's so interesting to me about these types of shows. The words are always changing and evolving and like progressing from somewhere that could be completely different, but then they become all of that together, you know, because of etymology and things like that. It becomes a story of that word too. You have where it is now, but then you have this entire history of what this was, different cultures' impact on it and different languages, and then how these things were changed, you know, so that it was always something that was interesting to me too. And this show really does highlight that.
So for the longest time now, I've been a proponent of cutting the cord. If you're unfamiliar with that term, basically cutting the cord is getting rid of cable for, you know, like streaming services. Lately, however, I'm more on the side of putting the cord back together, and here's why. There are now so many streaming services. You have like Netflix, Disney Plus, Hulu, Peacock, Amazon Prime, HBO Max, YouTube TV, Shudder, Crunchyroll, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's more than that. The fees for getting a bunch of services are starting to add up. So the closer I get to the cost of what my cable used to be, the closer I am debating about maybe going back to that. It was different when there was only a few and I could supplement, you know, my regular TV with these services. But besides that, there's a new issue I have with the streaming platforms. And I admit it's very, very first worldly, so don't come at me. But my new beef with these services, and added in with my smart TV, is that each service has its own loading screen. Now granted, the loading screens are only a few seconds long, I get it, but when you put them all together, it starts to add up. Let's say you want to watch Hulu on the Fire Stick. So first you turn on the TV and the TV logo loads up. And then the port that the TV is on loads up. And then you go to the Fire Stick and the Fire TV logo loads up. And then you select Hulu and the Hulu logo loads up. So by the time you get to the part where you want to surf and find nothing to watch, you've already spent a couple minutes in combined loading screens. It's worse than a video game. Now, I think this might be done so that you feel like you have to watch something because you spent so much time in preparation and loading screens reassuring you that you know you picked what you know you picked. But I just kind of wanted to get to my Whose Line Is It Anyway episode that I've already watched like a million times. I need someone to come up and release a hack to get around all the wasted time of loading screens, pretty please. But speaking of streaming services, here is Podfix's newest show, Podflick and Chill, which much like the Podcast Discovery Show, gives you recommendations, but instead of podcasts, they find the best stuff on the streaming services to watch after your loading screens. Here's a little clip where they're talking about the best movies to see in the theater. And if you happen to be born in like 2020 and don't know what a theater is, basically it's a place where you drive to and you can watch movies on a really, really, really big screen, way bigger than your TV. Like imagine, I don't know, like 30 of your TVs put together. And then you pay $30 for a small Coke and large popcorn combo, and you just sit there, and sometimes it's really loud. But here is Podflix and Chill.
The last movie I saw in theaters was 1917. Awesome.
Yeah.
You like the camera and everything like that. It's amazing.
You know, they filmed it like a one shot.
Right, right. And you can see the little trickeries, the little edit. Sure. Yeah. Keen eye. But the one like moment, and it was a Star Wars movie. It was The Rise of Skywalker. It was the third one. And it's when Palps, when a little palpy, good when he just Palps. Like the Sith zap, and he just like zaps the whole sky.
Yeah.
And just force lightnings everything. And you'd think all those planes would explode and everything like that, you know, because what they showed earlier in the movie, but whatever. When Rey just like gets a little bit of static lint and she's like, zap, and it's like Chewy.
Right.
And then it's just like, yeah. Why even do that when 30 seconds later you're going to show him alive? I don't care now. And the guys are like, come on, we're going to do it for Chewbacca. And it's just like, Who cares? Audience isn't engaged.
Right.
We don't care anymore.
Yeah, you lost us.
He's alive. Mm-hmm. I don't... keep crying over him. You're going to see him later.
Right.
He's flying in the trailer. He's alive. Get over it. But when Palps did that lightning strike in the theaters, did you see it in theaters?
Yes. Yeah, I definitely did. I don't know why I hesitated.
I know. What's wrong with you?
Nobody's seen anything at theaters for the last, like...
I know. I had, like, Rolodex my mind. What did I go see? No, right. When he zaps the whole sky, I want to say that bass in that movie theater...
Oh, God.
Just... You want to talk chair... You know, I don't want to say earth-shattering, right. But...
More like rumbling.
Oh, shattering. It was like, oh my gosh. I was very impressed. Very impressed with the sound design on that.
I love sound design.
Another great movie to see, actually, like, well, you wouldn't think, but it's just like, oh, you know, yeah, like yeah, some of these movies, yeah, you can watch on TV. You can watch on your TV at home. Not a big deal. But the last movie I want to remember that's like, that was like, I can remember being like, you know, that was a good, like, movie theater experience. Like, everything was tied in. Cloverfield.
Okay.
Big throwback. Cloverfield was like one of the ones.
I wasn't expecting that.
I know, right? And it was the one where, like, I remember the theater was packed and people were like sitting on the chairs in the aisle. Like, they were like sitting like where the lights are. So you could like see. No, people are just sitting all there, just laying around. And that whole movie.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, you're just like, whoa, okay. I haven't seen like a Blair Witch Project like movie like this in a while.
So that entire movie was filmed like it was like on a handheld
device. Yeah, point of view. Yeah, it was film point of view. And it just kind of, they did like the documentary.
Did it jump around from like person to person?
No. How they did it would, it was like the guy, you know, filming like the going away party.
Right.
And then that's it. And then like occasionally it'll like, something will happen. And then, like, you know, like the hand will come off the lens and be like, oh, wipe it off. Or, like, they run into, like, to the military in, like, to the center of town. They're like, cut that camera off. And, like, and then they take it back up. And, like, so that's a cool way. That's a really cool way of showing the passage of time. A nice little editing trick to do with movies like that.
Yeah, I like the...
Just so you're not bored.
Exactly. I like the, like, experiential... concept of filmmaking, how, like you said, with Cloverfield, it's like all shot first person point of view. How I was talking about earlier with that Sound of Metal, like they muffle the audio so you kind of hear what it's like to be a deaf person, or at least, you know, what they interpret a deaf person,
right? Yeah.
Or going deaf person, mostly deaf, whatever. But you understand what I'm trying to say.
The walking, like, in their shoes.
Yeah. I like that style of filmmaking. I think it adds a lot more weight to it. I like, and to your point with Rise of Skywalker, like, it would have been better if we didn't see Chewie until, like, they find him later.
Something. Right. Like, they blew up the ship. There's like, ah, and then the door opens and he's like, whoa, we got this prisoner. And I'm like, oh. That was all within like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
That was, I thought that was, I you know what? I would have, not to sound mean, I would have loved it if they killed off the character. I would have loved it if that was, because that then the stakes would have been raised for her, that character, everything. Because she's like, oh God, like, I've got choices and they've got consequences. There's weights to my actions, but... Mandalorian, so it's all right. It's all right. It's already been revived. It's been saved, I guess.
Yeah.
I didn't watch that. Don't worry. I know. I can hear the collective boos from the crowd, but I didn't watch that either, so I got to watch that.
You do. I'll lend you my Disney Plus password and account so you can
thanks.
All right, up next, we have a little sample of the Down to Folk podcast brought to you by the fine folks at the Perfect Package podcast and partnering with the Malice podcast. Think of this show similar to Lore in tone and delivery, but with a little bit of a comedic undertone to it. This is a show you can play for your friends, and after they listen to it, they'll say, That was not real, was it? And then you say, that was 100% real. What are you talking about? This is one of those lost stories that was passed down from generation to generation and is now resurfacing, and you, my friend, are on the cusp. And then they will say, the cusp? What are you talking about? The cusp of what? And then you will say, you know, just the cusp, man. And if you're on the cusp, you are on the cusp. And then you walk away really fast because you don't know what the cusp is either, nor how to explain what the cusp is, and you just leave them standing there wondering. So here is Down to Folk.
You've been listening to a podcast of the Podfix Network. Discover more audible gems like this at podfixnetwork.com. Make sure to catch up-to-the-minute network shenanigans by following @Podfix on Twitter, @official_Podfix on Instagram, @PodfixNetwork on Facebook, and make sure to subscribe to Podfix Presents wherever you choose to find podcasts. The Podfix Network, artist owned and loved.
The uplink with the Podfix Network is complete.
Greetings, my name is Lloyd Warrington. I am the chief engineer of Mask. Mask is the Ministry of Artificial Stories, and a K. A multinational science organization specializing in the distribution and archiving of stories. Our latest storytelling simulation, Down to Folk, will be utilizing the distribution technology of the Podfix Network. Our primary narrators will be Ariel Cooksey, of the Malice Podcast, and Chad Brockbrader, of the Perfect Package Podcast. The following is a sampling of the wondrous and possibly fabricated storytelling wonderment you can expect from Ariel and Chad. The sole purpose of this transmission is to stimulate your desire to listen to more, though we know it will have the exact opposite effect.
Anyone who has ever been to the state of Nevada has experienced firsthand the fascination with space travel. We've seen strange photographs with what appear to be orbs or saucers hovering overhead. We hear tales of lights moving in bizarre and erratic ways, vanishing as quickly as they appear. We have even encountered footage of a purported alien autopsy performed following a reported UFO crash. Area 51 is infamous for its countless conspiracies that swirl around it, creating a cultural zeitgeist obsessed with the question, are we alone? But the truth is, we already know we're not. But our Martians aren't little green men. They're bacteria. Guests from other planets don't plant their heads on chairs to sit and greet us with Nanu Nanu. And to our knowledge, there aren't interplanetary xenomorphs, nor tusked predators out for human prey. But it doesn't mean we haven't had visits from otherworldly entities. They're simply not what we think. This is the story of one true alien being that appeared in Nevada, changing forever the cultural landscape. And it wasn't a he, it was a she. The audience sat murmuring, anxiously awaiting the creature that had been advertised to them. It was expected to be one of the biggest shows in Vegas history. The theater was at capacity, eager for a glimpse of the alien who would soon be ushered onto the stage. They had heard of her supernatural abilities and strange appearance. Some had already claimed to have heard recordings of her mysterious communicatory sounds. She was rumored to be a marvel. A pregnant hush grew over the crowd as the spectacle began. Lights flashed, fires erupted, music swelled, and the entire theater pulsed. This would truly be a night to remember. And all at once she appeared, gaunt and tall, with large eyes and an oversized head. She was clothed in a material so shiny that in the lights it was nearly as blinding as the sun. She held a tool in her, what, pincers? Talons? It was impossible to tell from so far away. She flung her appendages wide, and if the audience didn't know better, would have appeared to be gliding across the stage in welcome. The entire spectacle was otherworldly. And suddenly the music shifted, and the creature seemed to respond in something akin to emotion, as if the very notes were telling the wretched thing some horrific tale of loss and woe. She lifted the strange thing to her mouth, and the haunting sounds of her native home began to reverberate, quietly, and then with growing intensity. The audience had just experienced something truly extraterrestrial. That alien would go on to become one of the longest-standing fixtures on the Vegas Strip, selling out shows by the millions. And people would come across the globe just to share air with this unusual being, moved to tears by its heartbreaking cries for home. But to this day, her heart, if indeed she has one like her human captors, will go on.
Look out, Marvel. The Podfix Network has thrown their hat in the post-credit race. At any rate, we hope you enjoyed, whatever that was. To listen to more of Down to Fork, visit dtfstories.com. Thank you, this has been an illegally transmitted announcement from Mask. And now, as Mr. DeVos would say, stay fresh, cheese bags.
Since we're talking about the Perfect Package Podcast, or P3 if you're one of the cool kids, in this next clip, Chad and Dave are discussing the Perfect Kid's birthday party. The location chosen was Chuck E. Cheese, and about halfway through this clip, and this is a spoiler alert, by the way, you can fast forward ahead if you don't want to be spoiled, but they mention Chuck E. Cheese has taps installed, but no beer. Now, here in Orlando, the Chuck E. Cheese does serve beer and wine, so I was confused as to what they were talking about, and I looked it up. Apparently, it's an option that the franchisee can elect to offer or not offer. Why any Chuck E. Cheese would not offer this to the adults who have to suffer in a room full of children begging for tokens every 5 minutes because they've blown them on that game where the light travels around in a circle really fast and you have to try to stop it on the 100 ticket payout, but that's next to impossible. So instead you usually land on the 1 or 2 ticket payout over and over and over again. But on a side note, I used to be really good at skee-ball at Chuck E. Cheese, which I have since used that skill to further my cornhole abilities. So I'd just like to thank my mom and dad for taking me once a year to the local Chucksters, even though I probably asked to go once a month. Anywho, here is P3.
Because it's a child's birthday party, I'm going to say we should have it at Chuck E. Cheese.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you and thank you.
And I picked Chuck E. Cheese for one reason and one reason. Well, two reasons and two reasons only. Because it is never, ever too early to teach your kids about bad eating habits and gambling.
Yes. Yes.
Because that's all Chuck E. Cheese is. Bad food choices and gambling.
It's a casino for children.
Yes.
It's a casino for children. You go inside. You can never tell what time of day it is. They got those shaded doors. If they're glass doors at all, some of them have like the full on, like opaque doors. You can't see through them and you walk in and it's just dark.
I know of two semi-locally here, two mm-hmm. Chuck E. Cheese's. One has a glass front, mm-hmm. but they've got walls to kind of corral you in. The other one is in a mall and has nothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, where better did... And it's jungle themed. We got a mm-hmm. giant rat. I mean, a mouse.
He's a rat.
He's a rat. He's got the tail.
Charles,
he's a rat.
Charles Edward Cheddar is a fucking rat.
I'll take your word for that, Cheddar Wizard.
If I met Chuck E. Cheese in real life, I wouldn't tell that motherfucker nothing because he's a rat and he's snitching. I know it. I know it. Look at that dumb fucking face he's got. You know he's a goddamn rat snitch.
They've tried so hard over the years to make him hip, too.
No, doesn't work.
Gave him a skateboard, gave him a helmet.
That's just so he could get in with the kids and narc on them, tell their parents what they're doing.
But now they just offed him.
Yeah, that was weird. They're just like, no more dude in a suit because we can't trust these motherfuckers.
Because Chucky's a rat.
Because Chucky's a rat. Then he attracts rat-like
stitches.
People.
And his head's falling off. So.
His head's falling off. I agree, though, that Chuck E. Cheese is a great neutral ground. It's a fantastic choice because, as you said, if you have it at somebody's house, there's going to be the drama of having it at somebody's house where, you know, it's the end of the party. People are leaving. Oh, you're not going to stick around to help clean up? No, fuck you. This is your house. You clean up. God damn it.
And especially when you get, like, Janice in there.
Oh, God. You want her to go. She's the only one who's going to stick around to help. And she ain't going to do shit except drink up all your wine.
And that's why Chuck E. Cheese. Sorry, Chuck Janice. Chuck E. Cheese. You can't bring your flask in here.
Because
that's going to be. Chuck E. Cheese. Oh, and Chuck E. Cheese just fucks with adults, too.
Oh, yeah.
They got taps behind the counter where you pay when you walk in and no booze.
Nothing. Nothing. You're like, what the fuck is this? What is this? I don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Because Chuck E is a fucking snitch.
He's a fucking snitch. He's like, oh, you're going
to
ask for it.
He's waiting for somebody to ask for beer. And then he's going to go, oh, you want beer? And then you're going to drive your children home? I see. I see what's up.
This motherfucker's calling CPS on you. Also, the great thing about Chuck E. Cheese is it's a universal experience that no matter what your socioeconomic bracket, Chuck E. Cheese is a shared experience where as a kid, you don't give a fuck. You still want to go. Your parents might be like, we could go to the better version of Chuck E. Cheese, you know, and there's different ones in different states, but there's always the one that's a little bit more independent, really well built up, owned by somebody who gives a shit, and they have a nice place. But still, the kid wants to go to Chuck E. Cheese's. And you're like, why? Yeah. But they're going to love it. They're going to love it.
In our last clip, we have the crew from Pop-Up Filmcast. It's your home for a made-up film festival supplied from a magical box that appeared on Keith's porch. Now, I'm pretty sure that Keith lives in the deep, deep jungles of Georgia. And I often wonder how bad these movies were for someone to pack them up in a box, then hike them all the way through the brush and bramble just to dump this box on Keith's porch. In this clip, I forget that ponder because I learned that Keith adds radishes to his smoothies based on the recommendation of Curious George, the monkey, not the homeless guy under the bridge who happens to also be named Curious George, mind you. Keith, he does say that they're good in his smoothies, but I'm just going to have to kind of believe him because I'm not going to add them to my smoothies, mostly because the only purpose of a radish is to add a touch of color to your side salad and not to be added into a smoothie. And I'm pretty sure that's in the Bible somewhere and it's a law. So here is the Pop-Up Filmcast.
If you see me streaming on there or whatever, just pop by, say hi. We could talk about our favorite radish.
Horse.
Or other. Yet to be determined.
Have you ever had a radish, Keith?
I love radishes.
Oh, you're insane.
I eat them all the time, plain.
Is this a bit or are you being real?
I like to put them in smoothies.
That's weird
stop,
to me.
Stop.
I do like a radish.
You're lying. You are straight up lying. Who puts a radish in a smoothie? Like what's the flavor combination there with a radish?
People put like kale and stuff in smoothies. I get
putting a super green in there.
But what about like a ginger? Like do you think ginger and radish could work together?
In a smoothie?
Oh yeah. Yes.
I don't know, man. The spicy weirdness of a radish in the cold smoothie. I don't know. I don't get it.
It tastes delicious. It does taste delicious.
It tastes delicious.
Wait, I do have a question though, Keith. Do you take your smoothies hot, or are all smoothies supposed to be hot or cold? I mean,
I'll have one boiling hot smoothie with radishes, please.
I don't do it all the time, but I have put a radish into a smoothie before.
On accident or on purpose?
No, on purpose. On purpose.
Like you bump the counter and a radish fell into the blender and you're like,
grabs all whatever. The produce that's on his countertop and just starts shoving it into the blender. Yeah.
All right. So when my kids were younger, they watched a lot of Curious George. And in one of the episodes of Curious George, there's a guy selling like smoothies and George is trying to figure out like, they keep trying to make different ones. They can't figure out exactly what the flavoring is.
Yeah.
And he ends up putting a radish into it. And they're like, that's perfect.
I know the episode well.
Yeah. And so I tried it, and it actually tastes pretty good.
That's cute. You got your recipe from Curious George.
Mm-hmm.
He's curious.
I was curious if it was actually a good thing, and it actually tastes pretty good. I don't do it all the time, but, it is tasty. Yeah. I'm not just eating a radish smoothie. Let's clear that up. I'm not just blending.
Well, what are you mixing it with?
I get these little packets of fruit, cut up fruit. I think it's like dragon fruit, bananas, and pineapple. I think is one. The other one's got some kale and some kiwi and stuff in it. And you put that with a little juice, a little coconut water, and throw in a radish.
And a radish. Do you cut the green part off? Do you leave the radish greens on?
Oh, no, I have to cut that part off. The ones I have, they're already cut off, the ones that I get from the store.
Oh. Like, what kind of radishes are they?
No, they cut the
little red ones?
Yeah, they cut the tops off.
Horse.
Yeah. They're not horse ones, no.
Oh, a horse radish smoothie? Ugh. it would have to be like a beef-flavored smoothie with horseradish. Like prime rib smoothie with horseradish.
Now, that would be a smoothie I'd drink warm, yes.
Well, there are no warm smoothies. They're no longer smooth.
Mm, they could be.
You can have something warm and smooth.
They're pory.
Yeah, you get blended up meat, mashed potatoes with enough gravy. It's going to still be nice and smooth.
You could even put you could serve it with like a slice of clown meat on top, and you could poke out the eyes or put mashed potatoes on it or whatever. That would be perfect.
You can put the straw right through one of the eye holes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I like that idea. It's like
a Bloody Mary.
Yeah, exactly a Bloody Mary.
Yeah, they call it Bloody Billy, though, because it's the Billy roll that you're putting on.
Bloody Billy.
Yeah.
The name Bloody Mary is kind of gross in itself, right?
A little bit.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of questions you have to ask yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Why is she bloody?
Mm-hmm. Why are you drinking Clamato?
Lots of weird questions.
Who thought to mix clam juice and tomato juice together in the first place to kind of make the base of it, let alone...
Yeah, it's like putting a radish in a smoothie.
Curious George, who was making Bloody Marys one time. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
George was trying to figure out what that delicious brunch drink was. He boiled up some clams.
But the man in the yellow hat was always drinking those things.
George liked it because the man in the yellow hat slept all afternoon, and George was able to go out on adventures.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I tell you, I never understood why they never...
fucked? Probably because it's a kid's cartoon, Keith. You sicko.
Oh, man. All right, never mind.
No, what were you going to say? Because... By you saying never mind, it makes me think that that's what you're going to say.
That got me. They never did hook up, hey?
By Curious George. All right. You're right. What were you saying, Keith? How come I'm the only one that's talking right now?
Live in your shame.
I hear Keith snorting over there. He's going to pass out.
Derek, thank you.
You made his day.
Are you all right? You sound like Nil.
Oh, you really did break him.
I did.
Derek, use your co-host skills right now.
Well, I guess that's what it calls for. So, Derek.
Derek, hold on. Thank you for helping Joe.
What is happening? Oh, my gosh. Do I need to call Atlanta 911?
Is there
anything? All right. Well, that's your mixtape for this month. Besides the great shows that were just featured, you can find others on the Podfix Network webpage. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all under the Podfix moniker to make it easy for you to remember and find. You found this show on the Podfix Presents channel. Check out the other offerings on this channel, like the Podfix 6 and the up-and-coming March Madness, where every show will be featured. And this year, they'll all be doing best of shows. So if you haven't listened to a particular podcast on the network and you're interested but just too afraid to take that chance, this will be your opportunity to get a nice bite-sized chunk into the right side of your cranium. Also, in March, there'll be giveaways, so be sure to stay tuned for that. This show will be off for March, however, because we have a lot of content, but we'll be back in April with more mixtape. So, stay strong, Podfix Nation, and also, stay fresh, cheesebags.
Do you like comedy? What about movies? Pop culture? Do you like animals? What about science? Do you dig plants? What about writing, snacks, rambling, and rants? Filmmaking, improv, and interviews? Canadians, Australians, boating forecasts, and super views? Ladies, gentlemen, cretins, or comic books? Script reads, bad TV, hits that shook, perfectly big packages popping up, podcasts pointing people to discover other podcasts? Fantastic. Check out the Podfix Network, podfixnetwork.com. At Podfix on Twitter, official_Podfix on the gram. Plus, check out Podfix Presents, wherever fine podcasts are found. The Podfix Network, artist owned and loved.